Welcome back. 37 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. My guest, Dr. Richard Land, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Land.
Good morning.
So we have all these high school and college students heading back to school right now. And for these Christian young people, with all the academic and the social pressures they are under, it can really be tough for teenagers and college students to stay connected to God's word in the school year, especially if they're going in to a secular college or secular public high school versus a Christian school. Can you explain why it is more critical than ever in our nation's history, frankly, for young people to stay connected to God's word?
Well, I think that we live in an increasingly, acceleratingly post-Christian culture. So they're not going to pick up Christian values and a Christian worldview and a Christian perspective in the culture. They're not going to pick it up in entertainment. They're not going to pick it up in just the general way things are taught in school, curriculum, et cetera. And so the only way they're really going to be exposed to it is through reading the Word of God and going to biblically based churches. And so it's more important than ever that people read the Word of God. When you've got, you know, people who claim to be or used to claim to be evangelicals saying that the Christianity is not founded on the Bible, it's founded on the resurrection. And my answer to that is, how do you know about the resurrection without reading the Bible and without the Bible content? And when you have people like Bruce McLaren saying, well, you know, we need to focus on Christianity as what you do, not what you believe. Well, sorry, it focuses first on what you believe, and then what you believe is supposed to impact what you do.
Springing out of our heart, the Bible says.
Right.
Recent study from the Barna Group was fascinating to me. It shared what teenagers think of the Bible. This came from the 2016 Teen State of the Bible Research, along with the Bible in America study. Can you tell us what this research found, Dr. Land?
Well, I think that it shows that teenagers have a more positive attitude toward the Bible than many adults would be led to believe that they have, and that it's important for us to model before them Bible reading. For instance, that 37% said, I am happy to see other Christians reading the Word of God. I feel grateful to see that sacred books are still important to people, 36%. I feel encouraged, 33%. Only 10% said that they were that they thought reading the Bible was old-fashioned. So just seeing people read the Bible is encouraging to teenagers and influences them. And then time spent reading the Bible, I found that to be absolutely fascinating because it says that 7% of teenagers read the Bible an hour or more, and then 39% said that they read it between 59 minutes a day. And 22%, 30 to 44 minutes. Only 31% said less than 15 minutes. That shows you that teenagers in America are more in touch with the Word of God. And this is why I think we need to, as adults, set the example. And they also, when they were asked, growing closer to God is the key motivator for Bible reading. It's 54% said it brings me closer to God, and only 11% said that it didn't. Mm. And interesting, I thought one of the more curious findings was that they still prefer hard copies of the Bible to digital ones.
Isn't that interesting?
That, you know, they've gone digital on almost everything else, but they put the Bible in a different category.
You know, and it's interesting for me because I can do both. I can look it up, you know, on the mm-hmm. the app, but I prefer to have the hard copy Bible. There's something about the substantive, just having that book in my hand, whether that's psychological, whether that's spiritual, I don't know. I just know that I prefer it. And of course, I have the NIV Study Bible, so I love to just go down there and really dig into, you know, what Scripture is saying and why it's saying it. But isn't that interesting that, that teens are saying they'd rather have the book in their hand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and especially when on almost everything else, they prefer digital.
Yeah. Now, how many of these young people, just out of curiosity, given the way our culture is going, how many of them are saying that they believe that the Bible is the literal inspired word of God versus just, you know, good literature or some, you know, good moral advice?
Well, I thought this was perhaps one of the most encouraging signs that there's a drop of 3 percentage points from 89% in 2015, but still 92%. You know, it's 86% say the Bible is the book that comes to mind when they think of sacred literature or holy books. And Christian teens are more likely than average to mention the Bible, but even the majority of teens, 61%, who do not align themselves with the Christian faith, mention the Bible more often than any other sacred literature.
Fascinating.
You know, that to me, 86% say the Bible, and only 17% say the Quran. And only 16% say the Torah, and only 11% say the Book of Mormon.
Now, here's something encouraging in the survey, and I know this, I'm sure this made you put a smile on your face. It said the Bible should have more influence on society. So young people, teenagers saying they believe that the words of Scripture, that God's Word, should influence what's going on in our culture.
Yes. In fact, if you look at a pie chart that this study pointed out, 24% say that the influence is just right, but 40% say it has too little influence, and 17% say too much influence. So you've got 40% saying it has too little influence, 24% saying that it's just right. So that's a majority that want it to have influence and thinks that, or either thinks that it has too little and should have more. And perhaps the reason for that is that, and to me, the most influential, the most interesting of all of these survey questions was when asked whether the Bible was the sacred word of God, whether it was the literal or inspired word of God. Among teenagers, among all teenagers in America, is the actual word of God and should not, it should be taken literally word for word, 20%. It is the inspired word of God, no errors, some verses are symbolic, 30%. That's 50% right there. And then inspired word of God but has some factual or historical errors, 16%. So you've got 66% of teenagers taking what is usually considered a very conservative or evangelical view of Scripture.
And that's of all teenagers. That's not just Christian
kids.
That's
all teenagers. That's all teenagers. If you take Protestant teenagers, it's, let's see, it's 42% and 50%. That's 92. And then 6, that's 98% of Protestant teenagers.
Some encouraging news from this survey, the 2016 Teen State of the Bible research done by the Barna Group. Our guest is Dr. Richard Land from Southern Evangelical Seminary. We'll take a quick break. Be right back here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. 48 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with Dr. Richard Land, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. New survey out from the Barna Group sharing what American teens think of the Bible, the 2016 Teen State of the Bible Research. And some very encouraging words. Dr. Land just going through some of the survey questions and the responses. And, you know, I think what really blew me away, Dr. Land, is that this is many of these questions, when you look at just the average teenager in America, not necessarily a Christian teen or a Protestant teen, but just the average teenager, that many of them hold the Bible in such high regard.
Yes, I think that's a that's an encouraging and a surprising thing, and I think that we as adult Christians need to do everything we can to foster this and water it and do everything we can to encourage it to grow.
You know, we're trying that in our own family. Our kids are 13, 11, and 9, and we try, when possible, even around the dinner table, to find some application from Scripture, either memorize a verse or talk about a situation that's come up during the day, and then find something in God's Word that applies to it and help our kids to really see that, you know, that God's Word speaks to every situation that they might encounter. Let me ask you this. Beyond simply reading the Bible, can you explain why it is so critical for young people today to have just at least a basic grasp of theology and Christian worldview, especially if they are in a public high school setting or planning to go off to a secular university?
Well, first of all, they are going to be they live in a post-Christian environment that does not treat the Bible or the things said in the Bible with any respect or authority. And that's in the entertainment culture, it's in the educational culture, it's in the popular culture. And so reading the Word of God is very important. And but, you know, I'll use my own example. I grew up in a church where I was encouraged to read the Bible every day, and I did. And yet, when I was 19, I had the opportunity to go to a leadership training institute and an advanced leadership training institute for Campus Crusade. And I studied what they did was they taught us the 10 basic steps toward Christian maturity. And those start out teaching doctrine. The last two steps are highlights of the Old Testament and highlights of the New Testament. And I learned more about what I believed and why I believed it in those 2 weeks that I had in 19 years reading the Bible every day as part of my daily Bible reading and going to church where it was preached on Sunday, because I knew a lot about the Bible, but no one had distilled out from that a distinctive worldview and what that means in terms of what does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible say about Jesus? What does the Bible say about sin? What does the Bible say about man? And did not give me a cohesive worldview, which the Campus Crusade training did. And that's when I decided to be a theologian. That's when I felt God calling me to be a theologian and to help the church to teach its members Christian doctrine. And so that they could understand, you know, things like, let's just take, for example, the current election campaign, what the Christian faith has said about the lesser evil versus the greater evil. And when you're in a fallen, sinful world, when you're faced with a lesser evil and a greater evil, do you have a responsibility to support the lesser evil in order to keep the greater evil from prevailing and not making the bad the friend of the worst, or do you just withdraw? And I think the Bible has some very important things to say about that, and those are the kinds of things that emerge from teaching Christian worldview and Christian doctrine.
Mm. Now, as you travel around the country, I know you speak at a lot of churches. You often do guest sermons at various churches. Are you getting a perception? Are you getting starting to see more churches and specifically more youth programs that are recognizing the importance of teaching our young people Christian worldview and doctrine and not just doing, you know, a little life application verse here and there, but really equipping them to understand how their faith intersects with their everyday life?
Not as much as I'd like.
Hmm.
And it's one of the reasons that Southern Evangelical Seminary is as committed as we are to doing that. We believe that you have to teach apologetics. You have to teach a Christian worldview and the defense of a Christian worldview. And so, I'm not issuing a blanket condemnation because youth pastors have a tough job, and you need to pray for your youth pastors, folks. Pray for them. But we need to do more. We need to do a better job.
And the materials are there, the resources are provided by organizations such as your own seminary and others. Why do you think we're not availing ourselves of those? Why, is it because still we have a situation where many youth groups in America are, it's all about pizza and volleyball, and those things may get the kids in the door, but boy, oh boy, they're going to be like sheep among wolves when they go off to a secular university if they're not prepared.
Well, pizza and volleyball is easier than you know. I mean, it's the shiny object is easier than getting into the meat of the Word of God. And when you get into the meat of the Word of God, you're going to come up with, you know, you're going to come up against some interesting issues, and you're going to have young people asking, well, you know, now, the Bible says this, but my parents do this. Mm. And youth ministers then have to navigate that difficult terrain of teaching the Word of God, but at the same time, not undermining, you know, relationships between parents and children. It's much more controversial, and it's much more hard work to inculcate Christian worldview.
Well, as you said, we should be praying for our youth pastors, and I know there are many that are doing exactly the right things when it comes to equipping our young people, and we should be supporting them in those efforts, church leadership,
absolutely,
denominations.
Absolutely. One of the toughest, if not the toughest job in any church is being the youth pastor.
Mm. Dr. Land, we appreciate the fact that you are preparing young people through seminary training and sending out folks on a yearly basis to be denominational leaders, Christian leaders, church leaders, and to really put the Word of God into action in their everyday lives and in their congregations. So thank you, sir, for what you're doing.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege, and God's still calling people out to serve His church.
Amen. Dr. Richard Land from Southern Evangelical Seminary. We'll take a break. Be right back here on Faith Radio.